Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. As we come together to worship our God in spirit and in truth, amen. As Brother Glenn stated, someone who left a good place to come here to this place in order that we may have life. Mm-hmm. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. We turn to hymn 311. 311. I appreciate Brother Rashad and the hymns that he selected. All the brothers that work on Sunday morning in order to serve one another, and the sisters that assist in different areas as well, as we all are part of the family of God. 311, we're going to sing all three verses, and then we'll sing the chorus, if you don't mind. In Gethsemane alone. In Gethsemane alone. Oh, what wondrous love I see freely shown for you and me by the one who did atone. Just to show his matchless grace, Jesus suffered for the race. In Gethsemane alone. Tarry here, he told the three, tarry here and watch for me. But they heard no bitter moan, for the three disciples slept while my loving Savior wept. In Gethsemane alone. Long in anguish deep was he, weeping there for you and me. For our sin to him was known. We should love him evermore for the anguish that he bore. In Gethsemane alone. Oh, what love, matchless love. Oh, what love for me was shown. His forever I will be, for the love he gave to me. When he suffered all alone. Amen. I want you to think about that just for a moment. When he suffered all alone. I want you to reflect back on Scripture. When the one that we state from time to time being a spokesman, Peter, when he denied Christ, he suffered there all alone. He did what no man could do. He took upon himself the sins of the world, the only one worthy to do so. And we should be so thankful, so grateful. We should be honored. And we should give him all the praise, the glory. Amen. Because all things belong to him. We look at the title of the sermon on this morning. What wondrous love I see. What wondrous love I see. God has done great things for us. And he will continue to do so. But we have to understand that the world will not love us like God has. The world cannot love like we are supposed to love. You know, I hate to say things like that. Supposed to. But that's the type of people we are. We don't do what we're supposed to do. And we need to start. We need to love one another because God has loved us.
Amen.
It's not here in this sermon, but John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we see that John 3:16 at baseball games, football games, basketball games, and you even hear it in country songs. Man said, that's the only verse I know is John 3:16. He don't know nothing else. And he's probably honest about that. But do he really understand what that means and what he needs to do about that? A lot of times they don't. And they need to be taught. Two times this morning I heard that the messages that are preached here are simple. I want you to know why they're simple. Because I am a simple person. I cannot give you anything complicated because I don't know anything complicated. I don't get up here and I don't speak Greek because I don't know Greek. So don't ask me what a Greek word is or how to pronounce that word, because I'm going to chew it up like I do the English words. But I want you to know that our God, as we have looked at in times past over the last 2 or 3 months or so in that sermon, that God, or the simplicity of God and the complications of man, we want to continue to keep it simple because our God is simple.
Amen.
He has revealed to us in Scripture what he wants us to know.
Amen.
So let's not try to go beyond that and try to figure him out. Because it's hard enough trying to figure self out.
Amen.
But what wondrous love I see. In 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, when we talk about love, we're going to start there with verse 1, and we're going to read a couple of other verses besides that. The Scriptures teach us here, as John writes, and remember, he's writing to the children of God. I just can't get over the man saying that I'm not a child. I'm not a child of God. I'm grown. Okay, fine. But this is what the Bible says, and brother, there he is right there, Brother Colbert, on Wednesday night was talking about the different names that we have as being children of God. And here John is talking to the children of God. Let's go back up actually to 1 John 2 and start with verse 28. It says, and now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Now, I want to stop right there just for a moment. There are two real little bitty, well, actually three little bitty children in here. Four if you count Dante, but Dante thinks he's grown. But let's put him in that number. If you go to them and you ask them in reference to those couple of verses there, what is John talking about? Now see, number 5. Ask them, what is John talking about? As a, I'm going to give that a little, as little bitty children, They cannot explain that to you. But as little children of God, we, just as these individuals that John was talking to or writing to, should be able to explain it. And if you can't explain it, get another little child of God to explain it to you. It's simple. It is simple. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God." And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. We cannot match what God has done. Amen. He has given us great love. And we need to appreciate Him for that. We need to be thankful for that. For the opportunity to have another chance to get our lives in order. What wondrous love I see. If no one sees Jesus in you or in us, we have a problem. A great problem. We're not living the way we need to live. We're not saying the things that we need to say. But our God has demonstrated to us time and time again how much He loves us. His love is steadfast. His love is steadfast. From the book of Psalm 86, we read four extra verses besides verse 5, but verse 5 is the verse I want you to key in on, because we need to know what type of God we serve. A steadfast God in His love toward us. He says in verse 5 again, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love in all who call upon you." This is a great thing. A thing that we need to grasp, and a thing that we need to hold on to, and a thing that we need to demonstrate in our lives. A God that has steadfast love. We are unable to change that. Why are we unable to change it? We are unable to change it because we serve an unchanging God. The same yesterday, today, and will be forever, just as His word is. Can we accept that? Can we believe on that? Can we move on that? You know, sometimes we say things or we do things and we tell people, "You can take that to the bank." I don't want you to take it to the bank this morning. I want you to take it to heart. Amen. And know the God that we serve is an all-loving God. A God that is full of mercy, full of grace. And He demonstrates that again to us by His Son. Listen to Him. Listen to how He demonstrates His love toward us. Because of the love that His Father demonstrated toward Him, and vice versa. We find in John chapter 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." That's a lot of love, isn't it? Loving the Father, loving the Son, loving the Father and the Son. Because they love each other and we should love both of them. It's a whole lot of love. But you know what? It's love that needs to be had. In order, as He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus going to the cross was something that he knew that he had to do in order that we may be able to live. Now, it gave him great joy to do so, but it also sorrowed him. Because man did not and still do not today understand why he had to die. He had to die so that you and I could live. Because we don't always do the right thing. We make mistakes. We fall short. We sin. But because of what Jesus did, those sins can be forgiven, that our joy may be full. Verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." You can't do any better than that. "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Now that gave me a thought there, and the thought was, there are a lot of people that use you and say that they are your friends as long as you do what they want you to do. Jesus, I guess they sort of got that from him, right? Because Jesus says, "You are my friends if you," what? "Do what I command you." But Jesus is saying that and really, truly mean it. He's not going to use us. He is truly our friend if we do what he commands. And he's not going to ask us to do anything that he himself would not do or did not do. He's not going to ask us for something that we don't have. He has never asked us to give him all of our money, but he wants all of our love. And he deserves all of our love. He deserves, you know, for us to make a commitment toward him and serving him. Again, the things that he has commanded are not hard. We need to do them. And in verse 14, or verse 16, shall I say, or 15. "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." So that you will love one another. The Father loved him. He loved the Father. We're supposed to love both. And then we're supposed to love one another. Who do you not love? Who do you not love? You know, that's a question that many of us are quick to give an answer. I don't love him. I don't love her. Why? The Bible says we're supposed to love one another. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. You know, I can't love him because he don't love me. You don't do what everybody else does. You love because this is what's commanded of us as being children of God. Do you love this morning? Do you love this morning? Because of his mercy and because of his grace, God has demonstrated again his love toward us. We have not received what we truly deserve. And we do not deserve what we have received. God has extended his mercy toward us, or shown his mercy toward us, and extended his grace toward us. You know, we're quick to don't do that to me. You want some mercy. And then you're always wanting something. You want someone to be gracious towards you. Well, let's look at what God says in His Word. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with the fourth verse there. But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You know, some of you may look at a pattern here of things that save us. Love is the greatest of those things. Amen. Love is the greatest of those things. Because remember, as you read through Scripture, it says, without love, you're nothing. So we can say, because God loved us, He's everything, and we are somebody. God is love. And look there at the mercy that He has had and the grace that He has shown. By grace you have been saved. Those people that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. They didn't deserve it. But because God loved them, His children, the children of Israel, He sent His Son to die for them. And then we are included in that number as well. Again, you go and you read through the book of Isaiah. He just didn't send Him to die for the children of Israel, but He sent Him to die for you and I as Gentiles. We have been made privy to it now. What did Jesus say? As we go back and you read there in John 15, everything that the Father told Him, that He shared with mankind. See, there are some things that Jesus don't even know, that the Father knows. But everything that He told Jesus, Jesus came and told someone else. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of telling Brother Glenn something. I tell him, don't tell anybody, and he go tell someone else. So there are some things that the Father just didn't want the Son to know. When is He coming back? The Son don't know. You and I don't know. But mankind is trying to figure it out. Don't figure it out. Just live it out. Amen. Do what you're supposed to do. Love Jesus by keeping His commandments. Amen. That's simple. Can't get any more simpler than that. Hope. Hope saves us as well, doesn't it not? Yes, it saves us. But what we're concentrating on is the love, His steadfast love. Oh, what wondrous love I see. Looking at the Scriptures, looking at what God has done, and understanding that He has done these things because of you and I. He says in Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Where does all this come from? It comes from on high. It didn't come from here. It didn't come from down below. Because if it was left up to man, we already know. Go back to the garden. God said not to do what? And you say, what will happen if I do? You mean tell me God was lying to me? God cannot lie. Amen. Cannot lie. Amen. But again, we want to, you know, put Him to the test. Does God really love us? Don't question Him. Just accept, yes, He does love us. What did He do again? And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You know, people ask that question a lot of times. How does the Holy Spirit work? Let's look at the Scriptures. Let's see what God's Word says. It allows us to love. His love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He does not work apart from the Scriptures. He being the Holy Spirit. Let's accept that. Unless, again, as we talk about love, love is something that we just don't have. We have to be taught. You're taught how to love just like you're taught how to hate. How many of you, you know, just automatically knew how to eat? Some of you still don't. Still need some direction. Still need some corrections. You know, His love is something that men need to be taught about. Amen. Why did Jesus come? He came so that you and I can have life. God loved us enough for that. His creation, He loved enough to send His Son. From the very beginning, He knew what He was going to do. And at the appropriate time, He did that. He still loves us today. His love has not changed. And what we have to do is we have to accept what the Scripture says and continue to do the things that are right. Look at John 14. John 14, His love again abides forever. It abides forever. John 14, verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them. Not just do them, right? Keep them. Same difference, really. Keeps them. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. What is Jesus saying? I'll make myself known to them. You love God enough, you study the Word. You'll get to know him. You'll see Jesus. He'll reveal himself to us. Do you know him? Do you know him? As Brother Fair would say, does he know you? He said earlier there when we read in John 15, if you keep my commandments, you're my friend. If you don't, you're not my friend. He didn't have to say that, did he? No, he didn't. But a lot of people want to hear that. Well, that's what he means by that. If you don't keep my commandments, you're not my friend. I don't care how many times you say a day that I love Jesus, I love his word. If you're not keeping his commandments, he said, you're not my friend. You know, he loves his friends. He laid his life down for you and I. We wasn't there, but he did it for you and I. The same thing that saved them back in the day of Pentecost on that day is the same thing that saves us today. That love that God had for them, he has for us. He will love us. So again, his love abides with those that love him. Now, does that mean that he don't care anything about those out there in the world? No, that's not what that means. He's given them chance right now to come to him. Because this world has not ended yet. And there's a lot of people that are passing on that do not know God or did not know God. And they're going to have to give an account for that. But as for you and I, that have put Christ on through the water grave of baptism, we need to continue to love him because he continues to love us. And maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. And no one has really explain to you about the love that God had for the world and has for the world. Let's get together and let's study. Let's look at what his word says and let's be obedient unto it. How much does God love us? He loves us enough to give us time to get things in order. He loves us enough in order to so us that we may have this word that's called the Bible, that we may be able to study it and that we may be able to apply it to our lives and that we may be able to accept that his word is true. That's the God that we serve. We don't want to be left out of anything. And that is why God has included us in the opportunity to become His children and to be faithful until the very end. God, again, when you ask, what does love mean? Give me a definition of love, and we've gone through that too. God is love. God is love. He's not like man. His love is unconditional. His love is something that, again, that we may try our very best to imitate, you know, and it's hard to do because our minds are carnal from time to time. And you done that to me, I just can't stand you. I hate you. God does not hate us. He hates the things that we do that are wrong, but He does not hate us. And that's what we need to be telling people. You know, what you're doing is not right. I don't like what you're doing. Now, you I care about, and that's what we tell the world. We care about their souls. We're concerned about their soul's salvation. We love them enough in order to share the word with them that they may come to Christ before it is too late. People don't have to see what you're doing to know who you are. They can hear about those things. They can hear about the love that you have had for others, and they may, you know, grow to appreciate that. God sees everything and He knows everything. He knows if you love your neighbors or not. He knows if you love your enemies. He knows these things. So who do you not love? Your answer this morning should be, I love everybody. I love everybody. That should be your answer. But is it? Is it? If you're not a child of God, it can't be your answer. Because you don't know how to love. You just think you do. Just like, you know, you marry somebody and you think that you know this person. No, you really don't know that person. You get to know that person. So let's get to know how to love. By becoming children of God and by being steadfast to His word as He is steadfast in His love. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of His. You understand the importance of what salvation is all about and know that the scriptures teach in Mark 16:16 that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. You know that. You hear that. You hear in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, you know, as many of us has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You hear in 1 Peter 3:21 that the like figure whereunto baptism doth not also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You hear that. Be obedient unto it. Salvation is because God has loved us. He has given us the instructions that we need. We don't have to have a revised version. We have the version.
Amen.
Let's accept His word and be obedient unto it. Maybe you are a child of God, and your life hasn't been what it should be. Your life isn't what it should be. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That if you confess your faults, if you confess your faults unto Him, He's just to forgive you of some of the things that you've done. Most of the things that you've done. No, you can take those two out because they don't belong there. He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Accept His word. Don't talk against Him, but accept what Jesus says. Look at His commandments. And follow them. You know, when you go through the New Testament, you don't hear Jesus said, go back and keep the law of Moses. You don't hear that. He said, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Or He says, why do you say that you love me and do not the things in which I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things in which I say? Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, or verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, I'm not ashamed to say this morning that I've been told, you don't love me. And that's not from the brethren. That was from my wife. And she tells me that from time to time because I'm not doing what she say. She's not Jesus. But that's what she tells me from time to time. You don't love me because you're not doing what I say. You know what I have to do? I have to go back and regroup. I don't go and eat crow, Brother Robert. But I regroup and I start, you know, a little begging. I love you. Why do you say that? Our actions. That's what it's all about. With our Lord and our Savior, it's our actions. It's not what we say, it's what we do. You love your brothers? What are you doing for them? What are they seeing out of you? You love Jesus? What is he seeing out of you? Not what you're saying, but what does he see out of you? So again, for the non-Christian, you want to become a child of God? Today is your day. Your day. For you to get up, come down the aisle, and say that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And have your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. And then for the erring saint, today is your day as well. Today is your day to come and confess that you have sinned. If you're wrong somebody, you go and get it right. And you ask God to forgive you for that. Today is your day. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.